Happy Mother's Day. You're amazing. If you're visiting Brighton AG, let me just say that I really tailor what I'm going to say to ladies of all ages and stages. So we honor our moms as we should. But girls, whoever you are here today, you're going to be able to take something away that's going to make you the diamond he's created to be so that you will shine in this world. And I think that's amazing. He has specific tasks for each one of us. And I think about as diamonds are formulated, and if you're aware of that, I did a little study this week on this. Diamonds, really, they're formulated about 90 miles below the Earth's surface. And the thing that makes them beautiful is extreme heat and extreme pressure. And did you know this? That volcanic activity, eruptions, are what bring them then to the surface so that they can be mined. Now, do a little working with me, right? So many times, ladies, there's extreme heat and extreme pressure that comes into our lives. And even that volcanic, that stuff that happens that we're like, what's going on, God? How can this be of you? It brings forward the beauty and it develops us internally in ways that we may never have signed up for. Are you with me? Like when the extreme heat and pressure come, girls, I don't go, oh yeah, this feels good. This is right. I say, like, Lord, what's going on? And I ask, I'm just going to be honest so many times, like, what do we need to do here? Let's get this, you know, move it on. And yet he says to us today, it's in those places of extreme heat and pressure that the development takes place within our lives in the internal so that we can be the diamond, if you will, that he has created us to be and to shine in ways that will bring him glory. And today, we are going to look at a message that God really laid on my heart. And this is funny. I'm not teasing when I say this. Months ago, as we were starting to put together all the elements that are a part of this, one of my team members said, didn't we work on this last year? I said, yeah. We decided all these things last year because God had already dropped this in my heart. I hadn't totally developed it. But I actually knew the title of this message last fall. She comes in all shapes and sizes. And there's correlation then to the diamonds, right? Because they come in all shapes and sizes and to our lives and the sparkle and the brilliance, etc. And so as we talk today, I truly believe that God's going to just reinforce to you, ladies, how amazing you are. And that some of the heat and the pressure, you're going to be able to say, okay, God, if this is going to bring to the surface greater beauty in my life that I might shine, if I'll handle it correctly and do that which you called me to do and respond in ways, then Lord, here I am. And as we look at this title, She Comes in All Shapes and Sizes, let me say this. We're going to focus on a little girl. She came in a smaller package, a smaller shape and size. And she can be found in 2 Kings chapter 5. And her story, she's a servant girl. Her story begins in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 2 through 15. And as we look at her story, I think we're going to see qualities. You know, just like a diamond has qualities, different elements about it, the way it's cut and things of that nature bring forward different points of light and brilliance, etc. And they're actually graded. I think that there are aspects in her life, two in particular, that as we delve into her story, and let me just say, side note, we all have a story. We all have stuff going on, and God wants to use our stories. And I am so thankful for this, and the Bible calls her this little girl who, despite some really challenging aspects, and we're going to look at that, her story had a tremendous impact. She was one who was truly a diamond for the glory of God, and her light, it shined brightly. And I think that that's in all of our stories. That's what he wants to do. And so as we begin, I'm just going to dive right in because we've got a lot of layers to today. And so I want to get right into, she comes in all shapes and sizes. And I just want to put, because I know those of you that may be, ladies I'm speaking to, of course, if you're familiar with all the beauty magazines, since I've been a teenager, you know they do our shapes and sizes, right? So are you an apple, a pear, a rectangle? I'm like an apple, you know, right? Apple, pear, rectangle, hourglass. And then they tell us how to camouflage some things, how to accentuate some things. And you know I love fashion. I mean, I'm all about it. But my mom's like, you know, we do the best with what we got, right? But here's the deal. I am not talking about that. I remember, and my mom says she doesn't remember this. I remember vividly in about 9th, 10th grade, just really enjoying the outward, you know what I'm saying, and getting all that stuff together before school and at different events and things like that. And I remember my mom, by the way, my mom's here. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Yay. I remember my mom saying to me, and I actually wrote an article about this. It's in a ladies' journal somewhere. I don't even seriously know where. It was years ago. But my mom said to me, just one of those really poignant moments. She said, you know, Rhonda, here's the thing. You know, the outside's fine. Again, we do the best with what we have, right? And that's okay. And it's great that you like clothing and all these different things. But here's the deal. We need to be concerned about what's going on in here. Because that's the thing that really counts. And so when I have this message, she comes in all shapes and sizes. I'm not talking about what we look like this, okay? I'm talking about what goes on in here. And what went on in here, in our little servant girl, is amazing to me. Because not only was she young, as I've already said, she was in some very adverse circumstances. So here we get going on our first aspect of she comes as a servant girl. So now we have a subtitle. Number one is what's really important to the development in here that we take from her life is eyes that retain focus. Now, here's part of her story here, and you'll see this. She is living in a time period in Israel where it's very turbulent. If you start in 2 Kings chapter 1, she's in chapter 5, okay? There's absolutely no spiritual awakening between chapters 1 and 5. The prophets are there, Elijah and then Elisha, who will be our guy today, Elisha. But what's happening there is there's such a disconnect in Israel that they don't even understand. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 1, you have a king who's fallen and had an accident. And rather than calling on the Lord, you know, his God, or calling to one of the prophets within the kingdom, he sends his advisors to consult with pagan gods. And you know what's really bizarre to me? Is that when you study the pagan god he was calling on, it was the Lord of the flies, Lord of dung. I'm not playing. Like, this is how depraved the culture was that she was a part of, okay? So this little girl has come out of a time period in Israel where politically they're a mess, spiritually they're a mess, economically they're a mess. And that's why these bands, as you read the scripture on the screen with me, that's why these bands from Aram were able to move in and out, almost like a cat toying with yarn. People were able to move in and out of Israel because they were so, I'm just going to use a common, they were so messed up. There was so much that was wrong within that country at that time, within that kingdom, that people were just having their way with them. And yet this little girl, as you read the scripture with me on the screen, you see that she's been taken captive because of the weak, soft borders of her country and their inability to defend themselves. She's been taken captive. She's ended up in Naaman's house. Naaman is a high-ranking official in the country of Aram. He is high ranking. He's highly thought of. He's an integrous man. And she, as she is making kind of maybe sense of what's going on, she retains a focus. Now, this is dual pronged. I want you to think about this. She knows who her God is because look what she says to her mistress. If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, Israel, he would cure him of his leprosy. Now, this just stands out to me in such a profound way because when things are so turbulent, it is important, and yet it is so hard to retain focus. Her culture wasn't even focused on God. Her culture was all over the place. The king is consulting, and if you read that king that I just referred to that had the accident, there are other kings that say they were even more wicked than the king I'm referring to in the first chapter. So she is in a really interesting scenario, and here's what I just believe. She had a good mom and dad. She had somebody investing in her life because as she was taken captive and is in a completely another country, she is able to retain focus despite the cultural norms that were flawed that she grew up in. And now being ripped away from her family and everything she knew and placed in a foreign environment, she is able to still lift up her head, look around, and she's able to say to her mistress with a confidence, with a confidence. I mean, you got to understand, she's a servant. She's a servant. And she speaks to her mistress in saying, this is going to happen. Look what she says. It's just going to happen. I'm challenged by this little girl that when things are adverse and my culture's talking to me and the bottom seems to fall out, that I would be one at my age, that girls at all these different ages that I see in front of me, at all of our ages, that we'd be able to stand in those places and retain focus. And why I think this is so important too is just beyond what it does for us internally, is that the challenge that exists there, because most of you know, and if you don't, I'll kind of put some context here so you do, that I'm very involved with working with foster and adoptive children and the foster parents and adoptive parents through Hearts Cry Ministry here at this church. And I continue to grow and educate myself because we want to continue to wrap around these individuals in real ways. And as I've been on a journey the last few months, this is very recent, and I find it so interesting because it fits with this retained focus. There's something that happens when someone is in, it's biological, when someone experiences trauma, they begin to use peripheral vision because they're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And a lot of our kids that come out of foster care and very difficult places use peripheral vision, and therefore they have a lot of problems in school, reading and things of that nature, because their eyes will dart and they don't know how to focus. And I would say to us girls today, we got to be so careful in challenging times that we don't go peripheral. We got to retain focus on who we know God is and what his character is, right? Because if we go peripheral, then there's that anxiety that's in us that's causing us to go, okay, is it coming from here, here, here? Rather than saying, I know who my God is. I believe in what he says. And our servant girl illustrates so well for us. She didn't go peripheral. And when you say like the word retain, again, I use that with intentionality because you got to work at it. You got to work at it, ladies. It's not something that's just a one and done, because life just keeps coming. And there's so many layers. I had an interaction with a lady. She was subbing in Ellie's preschool the other day. And so I talked to her. I've seen her a couple times. And we were just talking about Mother's Day and kids. And Ellie was doing something. And she said, yeah, I have five girls. They're pretty much grown. And she said, it gets easier. And then she looked at me. She said, kinda. And we both laughed, you know, because it just changes. And even beyond our families and our children, life just comes. And so we have to be intentional to retain. What does retain mean? I just wrote down a couple of things. Keep in mind, hold on to. So when things are changing and shifting, and when you are questioning what in the world's going on, if you are going to shine as the diamond that he's created you to be, you're going to have to take a page from our servant girl, and you're going to have to retain focus on the right stuff. On the right stuff. And for us in the New Testament, right, we live in the New Covenant. She lived in a time period prior to Christ's coming. For us, it's focusing on the person of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite scriptures that fits hand in glove with this is Hebrews 12:2. And if you're here on a regular basis, you hear me pray this. And it's not just something that's cliche for me. I pray this continually because I need it. I need it. And this is what it says. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's so important. What does fix mean? Just like retain. To fasten, all right? And to resolve. I like that word. That's my word. To resolve. Because there are too many variables in life that try and get me to go peripheral. And I am resolving. So why do I pray this all the time? Because I need it. I know I need it. It's like if I needed a prescription, I'd take it. Okay? I'd take it. This is the prescription in my life, and I share it with you today because it's the thing that keeps me anchored. I go back to it. I have bad days just like you. I have days where I start to go peripheral and I have to like readjust, and I have to say, okay, what does this look like, Rhonda? It looks like it's out of your control. Oh, I love that. Right? Girls, don't we love that? There's nothing I can do. Love it even more. Right? Just going to have to trust God. Alrighty. I mean, you know, I say it and then I got to do it. And that's what we got to do, girls. We got to put it into action. Our servant girl, she blows my mind. Eli's starting to pick. Mom, that just blows my mind. He goes, phew. You know, I mean, I'll just take a page from Eli. This blows my mind. How does a little girl have this all figured out? How does a little girl, the Bible calls her, she's a little girl. How does she have it figured out? Because she knows her God. Because somebody put some good stuff in her and it's rooted deep. And it doesn't matter where she's living, she knows her God. That's amazing. Like, we could just mic drop and stop right there, because that is huge for all of our lives, girls. To be the diamond shine, to be who he's created to be. I just look at this and I'm like, God, help me. Because I want to be like this little girl. I want to fasten my eyes to the person of Jesus. I want to be who he's called me to be. There's another quote, because I'm doing some layers here. I only have 2 points, okay? Eyes that retain focus. We're going to stay on this one for just another moment. Because I believe it's so important for our lives, girls. And I want to add another layer from Oswald Chambers. I'm doing his devotional again this year. And in January, I came across a quote. And it talked about, it's scriptural. It says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And what that simply means, can I just tell you the witness thing? It means you shine for him. It means your story is being told for him. You know what I'm saying? For the person of Jesus. And I like this because it speaks to our servant girl. And here's Oswald Chambers, the top part of scripture, and then Oswald Chambers comments. He says, that means a life of uncompromising, unbridled devotion to the Lord Jesus, a satisfaction to him wherever he places us. Our girl got this. And I would just say to you today, ladies, of all ages and stages, I don't care if you're in middle school or if you are our senior most citizen, and everything in between. This is what we strive for. To understand. Because he is going to place us in environments that we aren't. Like, how did we get here? Have you ever had one of those experiences? How did I end up here? Sometimes, can I speak to us? It's not geographic. It's emotionally and mentally. Have you ever been there? Sometimes we're not going to be while we take a page. She was moved geographically and she had to fight different things internally. But for many of us, it may not involve geography. It may involve our emotions and our mental state, that we have to reconcile things by retaining eyes that focus on him. By fixing our eyes, because placement is going to shift and change. Life is not constant. It's anything but. And so I speak life to you today, which is my second point, because that's exactly what this little girl did. She possessed lips that spoke life. And as we live our stories out, and as we continue to fix our eyes upon him, retain the focus that is necessary in order to be successful. Not for some prize, but for pleasing the audience of one whom we call Jesus Christ. We are going to have this tandem of eyes that retain focus like our servant girl and lips that speak life. And again, as you look at her story in 2 Kings, you'll see I have more of that on there. What happens is that she talks to her mistress, like we've just talked about. Her mistress, who is Naaman's wife, talks to her husband, Naaman, and says, you know, you have leprosy. It's pretty serious. It's just in small places right now, but there are no cures for leprosy. And those of you that know ancient history, you know that people, after it was found out at certain points, they were asked to leave. I mean, they lived outside the city gates. Can I tell you a really interesting thing? And some people are here today. When I took a team, when I was doing youth ministry, we went to Mexico City. And as we were pulling up into the compound, I could see up on the, and I'm a former history teacher, language arts. And so I could see, so I have some of that, you know, background of looking at architecture. And I could see this church and I'm like, wow. And I knew the date, I'm like, that's a Cortez thing. I mean, you know what I mean? This is early Spaniards. And what was interesting to me as we came in, the missionary said, this is the former leper colony, because the church was way up on the hill. And then the leper colonies, the sisters, the nuns, because it was a Catholic establishment at that time, now Assemblies of God. But at that time, they had the leper colony contained within these walls. And Naaman was moving towards a place where he would be dismissed from his culture. Do you understand what I'm saying? He would be moving in a direction where he would have to be outside the city walls. He would not be welcome. Even his family would have to disassociate with him. And yet, an interesting thing, a miraculous thing happened. As a little girl who had been taken from her family, moved to another country, as she retained focus on her God, she then was able to speak life into the family she had been placed with. And as she spoke life, Naaman went on a journey, and he went to Israel. Now, here's the interesting part. Remember I told you how turbulent the times were? When he gets to Israel, it's protocol. He has letters that he's to introduce himself to the king, okay? Because he's entering another country, and so he's to make it formal so that it's not seen as a hostile act, okay? Because he's a warrior, Naaman is. So he goes to the king of Israel. The king of Israel, this is how disconnected he was from God. And that's why our girl, again, amazes me. I'm repeating myself on purpose because I want you to see the juxtaposition. The king, when Naaman arrives, the little girl doesn't go on the trip. When Naaman arrives and says to the king, I'm here, you know, this girl has told me about the man of God. He tears his robe. He says, this is a trick. And he doesn't even think about how to send Naaman to the prophet to be healed. He goes into this downward spiral. And there's such, again, I use disconnect, that there's a God who can heal this man. It never occurs to him. Now, what, you read it, when you read it in context, the king never has that aha moment, that epiphany to say, well, we got someone that can do that here. I may be in a total mess, you know, I may be an evil king in a mess, but yeah, there's some prophets here. He never makes that. You know what has to happen? If you read this in context, the stuff that's in between here before Naaman gets healed, Elisha has to send a note to the king and say, hey, stop, I'm going to use my thing, stop freaking out, send them to me. And that's basically what Elisha says. Stop the nonsense. Sure, you can't do it. You can't even lead this nation. You're a mess. Just send them to me. Because you know what he says? Because then he'll know there's a God. Then he'll know that the God of Israel can hear and answer prayer. Send them to me. And I love that that little girl understood. That she understood and she was able to speak life into this family. And so as Naaman makes his way to Elisha, Elisha gives instructions through his servant, and Naaman is healed. But the cool thing for me is, he's not just healed in the natural. He's healed spiritually. If you look at this, he says, this is Naaman speaking at the end of this quote that you see on the screen. Now I know that there is no God, capital G, in all the world except Israel. And this is huge because pagan nations were full of gods, lowercase g, full of gods, idols, all kinds of worship, all kinds of things taking place. Naaman has a revelation, not only physically cured of leprosy, but spiritually where he knows the living God. And Can I just tell you, girls, here's the thing. The challenge is when life gets crazy and it's a mess, I don't know if you're, sometimes I don't feel like talking. I don't feel like speaking. Like I'm just trying to get myself, you know what I'm saying? But what we're going to have to do is come like this servant girl and speak life. Because when we do, everything changes. Everything changes. There's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. Many of you are familiar with it. It says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And in all honesty, can I tell you, as I live my life sometimes, this is a great picture image. My mother-in-law has a painting of this that someone made for her years ago. And it's beautiful. But I'm going to be really honest and say there are so many times when I'm living life in the complexities of it, that my apples, I'm just being honest. I'm not being dramatic. I'm being real. They feel a little rotten, a little squishy, and the settings look tarnished because I just feel like I've missed it or it wasn't what I should have done or things of that nature. And I just have to remind myself, it's a goal to achieve. I'm being honest. It's not, every day doesn't look like that. I want it to. But it just doesn't. I miss the mark. But then I remind myself, I can't give up. Because he uses our shapes and sizes. He uses our ages and stages to create stories that will shine for him. And there's a lot of heat and pressure. And I forget that it's the volcanic activity that brings my good stuff to the top when I stay true to Him. And, you know, for a moment here, as I've said, I've really crafted this so that it's for all women. But I do want to do a couple mom moments, because I want to encourage some moms here today. Specifically, I want to encourage all of us, but I want to encourage some moms. Because here's the thing, our servant girl, it really looked like the bottom dropped out. And what I think can happen to us moms, and we use this phrase a lot, you know, the days are long, but the years are short. And yeah, this is Mr. Star's student, February 2019, just so you know, okay? And he's all mine. It's so amazing. But I want to talk about the everyday, because here's what I think, too. For our servant girl, things radically changed, and she had to keep her, like, retain, right, focus, and speak life, and she did it with excellence. I think also what can happen, and that's why I'm asserting this, is the everyday can wear us down. And I want to share a couple stories with you to encourage you, and I'll start with Eli. And this was, as I said, in February 2019. Eli was Star's student. He was so excited. So you bring this poster home, right? You put about 9 pictures on it. And then there's all these, I know you can't see it clearly. And then you see there are boxes where you answer all these questions. And so we're answering stuff like favorite food, favorite color, favorite sports team. And then we get to a box that's like this on its own. And it says, what are you good at? And Eli says immediately, you know, Mom. And you know, from I'm like, yeah, I do. But why don't you tell me? You know what I mean? You just, oh, yeah, I do. Why don't you tell me? And he says, I'm really good at loving people. Now, see, I knew you'd do that because that's what I do. I was waiting for that. Okay, I set you up. All right, so that is exactly what I did. And I'm like, oh, yes. And I'm like, that's so sweet. Now, I'm going to give you the context, just like I did for our servant girl about Israel and those same things. Let me give you the context of why, for me, that was so amazing. Okay? Beyond the fact that it is. But let me give you context. Because, see, about 2.5 years ago, I really had to start speaking life into Eli in ways. Because here's, Eli will find, my husband will testify, you can go to the beach like Lake Michigan. Eli's going to pick the kid that nobody else is playing with. All right? That's who he is. He thinks everybody likes him. I think they should. All right? But he just thinks you do. And he assumes that. And he just gets all involved. Well, here's what started to happen. Oh, and I hope I don't cry because you know it's okay. But what happens is as he started kindergarten and even first grade, and nobody's bad because this is just life. We all get this, right? Okay, so I'm not making anyone bad. But not everyone wants to play with Eli. I'd like to deck him. All right, you know, because they're making my boy sad. But not everyone wants to play with him. Not everyone's his friend. And he's getting taken advantage of. Like, he'll get in the car, and I'll say, okay. And again, no one's bad. And I'm not saying the whole world's against Eli. I'm just saying he's running into that. Just like when we were kids, we all ran into stuff. And he just doesn't get it. He thinks he's amazing because we've told him he is. So he's like, why wouldn't they want to be with me? I'm amazing, you know? And he's out at recess playing. And this was last year. And so he'd say, they play this game, Granny. No idea. All right, but you're the granny. It sounds to me, it's like tag, and you're granny. And so he would tell me, and I'd say, I talked several times. I said, Eli, can I just ask you, are you always granny? He said, pretty much. And I said, do you ever, and so I, again, speaking life, right? Because I want to preserve that heart. Right? These are why I'm here. I'm talking. I hope you're putting it all together. But so as we're moving through, I'm like, okay, Eli. So do you want to be granny? He's like, I like it. And all I said was, well, you know, Eli, if you ever don't want to be granny, you can go do something else. You don't always have to be granny. And, you know, I let it go. And like 3 days later, he got in the car because I'm not making a thing of it. I'm just trying to speak life and help him with that amazing little heart that loves everybody. Because I do, here's like Eli's hashtags, eyes that see, he sees all kind, like he sees like the kid that nobody's playing, you know what I mean? He sees that. And a heart that feels super compassionate. I mean, that's him, just leads with his emotions. And so about 3 days later, he got in the car and he goes, hey Mom, guess what? I said, what? He said, and he told me, I played Gaga ball today. I said, oh, cool. He said, I wasn't the granny. I said, that's cool, Eli. I said, not that you shouldn't ever be the granny, right? He's like, yeah, I know. But he said, I did play Gaga ball today. Now, I'm just telling you, I've had to really work with him on what healthy boundaries look like. I've had to, because, you know, this is just going to happen. And again, I'm not making anybody or any environment bad. It's stuff he's going to face. We've seen it happen at McDonald's Playland when we've been on a vacation. You know, I mean, the kids make him it. And he's like, cool, I get to play. And I'm like, not really. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But it's okay. I got to figure out, and I am figuring out, how to retain that amazing heart and still help him to have healthy boundaries. Because it's not cool to be taken advantage of all the time. And I don't want it to get to the point where then he gets more cynical. You know what I'm saying? And he doesn't trust. I mean, so we're having all these real conversations. Again, remember, this is a mom moment for me. And I want to encourage some of you. Because now let's go back to the beginning. And again, I'm talking the last 2.5 years. I've been rehabilitating him when he's been discouraged and felt like taken advantage of or things like that. So I've been rehabilitating. I don't do sympathy like, oh yeah, they're so bad. I'm not doing that. You understand what I mean? I'm doing healthy talks. Mom moments with him to help pulling him out of his emotions and helping him to achieve what I would call more stability. And so that he gets things and he can process them. Because I want him to be able to process without me. You know what I mean? I want him to be able to get that. And I love that that's happening. So my little star student, when he said to me, Yum, you know what I'm good at. I'm like Legos, marble runs, train tracks with like almost having hydraulic lifts. I mean, yeah. But I didn't say it when he said loving people, I was like, Mom, apples of gold, settings of silver. I mean, I know to those of you that haven't traversed this, but if you have, you know, I mean, I was just like, as I'm writing that, or he was writing it, I was telling him how to spell a few things, but he was writing it. I was just like, but now, can I just tell you, now let's go back to our servant girl. In order for, because I don't know, you know, I know a lot of you think I'm just like Miss Taskmaster, and I am, okay? But I got feelings too, all right? There ain't no robot in here, okay? I mean, I do. I'm very organized, very structured. But I mean, when he hurts, oh my word, I go in the bedroom and like cry. I'm like, if I could get those kids, you know what I mean? I mean, that's how I feel. But I don't want him to see that. I don't say that. And so you got to understand from me, when he said that, I'm good at loving people and we've been working on this and working on this. I was like, thank you, God. You helped me retain focus because I wanted to get emotional. And I did in my prep, but you know what I'm saying? Thank you that you helped me to retain focus so I could speak life into a little guy. Because here is this little guy. I believe he sees people differently. He doesn't miss people. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a game with him. He truly sees people. He's interested in them and he feels what they feel. But I don't want it to debilitate him. And so my little star student, we're making progress. But I get fatigued and I get tired. But I have to, like our little servant girl, take a page and retain focus and speak life so that he will be the person God wants him to be. Now, let me tell you my next one. You're going to see the picture and you're already going to know where I'm going. And some of you know her. This is Miss Eleanor. I didn't ask her to do this. I didn't instruct her. This is Miss Eleanor. She is large and in charge. And Lord knows I need to retain focus and speak life to this little bundle. She's amazing. I recently picked her up and I just love their school. Okay, so I don't want you to get the wrong impression. And in their pre-K, her teacher, I picked her up the other day, and in a really nice way, her teacher said to me, Rhonda, she doesn't miss a thing. I said, I know. I said, she really can only write her letters. She asked me for notebooks and she walks around the house. I have no idea what she's writing, but then she'll rip it out and say, here's our schedule for the day. Do you have some tape? And I'm just like, you know, she's crazy. She's a hoot, as we call her. But here's the thing with Eleanor. Again, I'm doing a mom moment, retaining focus, speaking life. Inside that large and in charge exterior, that really takes no prisoners, okay, is this very sensitive little girl. And I'm going to be honest, you know, my husband's leg since Christmas, his ankle has really been bothering him, and it was really bad. It's gotten better. We all get busy, and it still bothers him a little bit. She is the only one, and I'm sorry, but She's the only one. Like, we get super busy and we're going, and she'll out of nowhere say, "Daddy, how's your leg today?" I mean, this is so, you know, and so here's what I'm saying about retaining focus and speaking life in your mom moments. Ooh, is this tricky? Because she is, this is her, okay? She'll say, basically, you know, she doesn't say it this way, but she does. Where's the line? She only wants to know where the line is so she can look at me and step over it and go, "What are you going to do?" I mean, that's just who she is. But inside that is this little girl that, "Daddy, can I pray for you? How's your leg today, Daddy? Can I pray for you?" And she will, if someone gets hurt, she's immediate there to rub their back. And you know what she'll do to Eli? He doesn't like it. Poor buddy. He's like, "Get lost," you know? So, I mean, you know, because it makes him feel, you know, like, "Oh, mom can do that, but you can't," you know, kind of a thing. But that's who, and so you know where I'm going with this. It's so tricky to retain focus because she's just stepping like, "Where's the line? Where's the line?" You know, and doing this to me. And I'm trying to like not overreact. I always have this saying at our house. Here's how it goes. When things get stressful, Eli bubbles down, Ellie bubbles up, and I just bubble all over. I mean, that's just how we roll. That's like hashtag truth, okay? That is us. And Brad walks in so many times from work, he's like, "What's going on here?" I'm like, "Same thing been going on for the last hour. Welcome home." You know, I mean, it's just crazy because we've got these very strong personalities. But, you know, and we laugh. And I just want to encourage you, moms, that it's a challenge in the everyday. Not only when, like our servant girl who's been extracted and in a different place, it's a challenge when you're in the same place. It's a challenge when you're trying to retain focus and speak life and you've got these layers and they're coming at you. They don't wait, you know. Well, sometimes I think they do. They take turns. I think it's a plot. Like they wait till one is calm and the next one, tag, you're it. You know what I mean? And then the next one comes and does their thing. But it's a magical thing and yet it's a tricky thing and crazy thing. But I had one of those, just like I said with Eli about the apples of gold and settings of silver. I had one of those with Elle just recently. And because I'm talking life to her all the time and trying to redirect and regroup and not crush that little amazing spirit and yet deal with that stuff that's stepping over the line. And so we were, best thing Brad and I ever invested in when we had the kids was that, and we still have it, the overstuffed Pottery Barn rocker, downstuffed. I spent so much time in there. And that's still, Ellie still at night wants to crawl up in my lap and talk a little bit, of course, and chat and share. And just inadvertently, she somehow moved because she's getting kind of big for that, but I'm taking it as long as I can get it, okay? But she's getting a little, about 38 pounds, a little bit big in there. My legs are going numb. But anyways, you know, I'm just like rocking it out. I hope you're falling asleep soon. But before that happened, she moved, and she's bigger, and she hit my face, and she wasn't meaning to. And she said, "Oh, Mama," she calls me Mama. "Oh, Mama, I'm so sorry." Then she says to me, "But you know that was an accident, and we don't get punished for accidents because everyone makes them." And I said, and I didn't even stop her because she said, "But when you get frustrated is when I don't listen and when I don't do what you say, and then you're frustrated, but you always love me, Mama." And I was like, apples of gold, because I say that to her constantly. But what I'm saying is to you moms, just keep doing what you're doing, but don't do it in your own strength. Retain focus on the person of Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on him like our servant girl. And then speak life. And it's challenging because there, like I said, there are days when my words look more like mushy apples in tarnished, you know, settings. But I go to bed and I say this to Brad, "We'll just do better tomorrow." I mean, we'll just do better tomorrow. And I mean it because I'm going to retain focus and speak life. And so let's leave our mom moments and let's go back to our comments and wrap it up today regarding, for everyone here, all the girls, ages and stages. Our goal is to apply from our servant girl two qualities from her life: eyes that retain focus and lips that speak life. Because those things will help us, whatever shape or size that we are, to shine brightly for Him. And as we do that, our stories, just like the servant girls, will come to life and they will impact people like hers did for her mistress and Naaman. She comes in all shapes and sizes.